Econeri, sulle certe, fuori la voce e forza Juve!
On Sunday night at the Olympic Stadium in Rome, Juventus can wrap up the Serie A title for the sixth consecutive season and the 33rd time overall. All they need is a point against second-placed Roma. And even if Roma do win on Sunday evening, Juventus can claim the crown on May the 21st at home against relegation-threatened Crotone. No side has won the Italian championship as many times as La Vecchia Signora, the old lady. And no team has won it 6 years in a row like Juventus. The Juve boss, Massimo Allegri, has every right to feel very pleased with himself. Last Tuesday night, Juventus advanced to the final of the Champions League. They beat Monaco 2-1 in Turin to complete a 4-1 aggregate victory. Juve lost the 2015 Champions League final to Barcelona, and on the 3rd of June in Cardiff, they'll face another Spanish side, this time in the shape of Real Madrid, who reached the final after overwhelming City rivals Atletico 4-2 on aggregate. When Juve played Barca 2 years ago in Berlin, they were seen as the underdogs. Will it be the same this time in the Welsh capital against Real Madrid? Alessandra Bocci's a sports writer at the Gazzetto dello Sport in Milan.
They have key players like not only Cristiano Ronaldo, but Sergio Ramos. They get used to leave this kind of matches, this kind of finals. They are the champions of the world. So I think they get used to it. And of course also Juventus, in compared with 2 years ago, now is a mature team also for Europe. But I think that anyway, Real Madrid, for a lot of reasons, history as well, they are the favorite for this game.
Juve have obviously been good in Europe, and they've been, to say the very least, quite decent in Serie A. Allegri's clearly pulled off the trick of domestic domination as well as European success. At the start of the 2014-2015 season, Allegri took over a Juve side that had just won its third Serie A title on the trot under Antonio Conte, a former Juve midfielder. Conte was a favourite with the fans because his modus operandi was impassioned involvement. The Juve faithful loved it, just loved it, and the success has continued under Allegri. With a third title virtually in the bag and a second Champions League final in the offing, these are feats that Conte never achieved. So will Allegri be able to step out of Conte's shadow? Alessandra Bocci.
It's difficult to say because a lot of people in Turin are still in love with Conte and the shadow is still here. Of course, now the situation is a little bit different because he arrived 3 years ago in Turin. There's a lot of criticism and scepticism as well because he arrived after, of course, a Scudetto with AC Milan. People, they were not so happy when he arrived in Turin, you know. Something changed because he won 2 titles. This should be the third. Of course, everybody now is in love with him in Turin just because they are sure, I don't know why, but they can win the Champions League. But I'm very sure that if he stay in Turin also next season, at the first bad game, critics starts again. Because, I don't know, it's sort of, it's a continuous challenge for him because it's very difficult to compare him with Conte. And not the problem of tactics or of titles or success.
So what exactly does Conte have that Allegri doesn't?
It's because Conte is a man of Juventus. Allegri is completely different. Allegri is a professional coach. I mean, his body language is completely different from the body language of Conte. And Conte is sort of supporter of Juventus. He was a player. Former player, he was a coach on Juventus, But basically, it's a Juventino. Allegri is not Juventino. Allegri is a coach. He can stay in Turin. He can go to Premier League or in, I don't know, in China or I hope no, but anyway, or in another club in Italy. I don't know. But anyway, he's a professional coach. He's not the man of a team. He's not the man of a club. He's a coach. So he can go and train and work for PSG, Arsenal, or Manchester United, or I don't know, Real Madrid, Juventus, Inter, AC Milan. It's just a job. Of course, it's a particular job. Of course, he likes his job. It's like last football. It's a sort of studied football, but from a tactical point of view. But it's not obsession by football. It's not a football. It's not just an obsession for him. And I think this is the big difference.
While places in finals and titles were being decided on the field, off the field, top administrators from World Football's governing body, FIFA, were gathered in Bahrain for the 67th FIFA Congress. During the two-day jamboree, the FIFA boss Gianni Infantino had a go at the media for FIFA bashing. That criticism came on Thursday after it had been confirmed that the two men in charge of cracking down on FIFA corruption would be replaced. Hans-Joachim Eckert and Cornel Borbély, the leading lights on the ethics committee, said they'd wanted to continue with their inquiries, but they've been replaced by Vassilios Skouras and Maria Claudia Rojas, respectively. Eckert's handiwork has led to the bans on the former FIFA president, Sepp Blatter, and Michel Platini, the former head of European football's governing body, UEFA. Eckert also helped to judge a case last year against Infantino. It ended with no action being taken over Infantino's use of private flights provided by Russian and Qatari interests. On Thursday at the Congress, Infantino played down any suggestion of high-level shenanigans.
No, well, as far as I'm concerned, I certainly have no issue neither with Mr. Borbély nor with Mr. Eckert, certainly not. Everything is open, is clear, is free, what I can do and what I do. I mean, I'm probably the most scrutinized person in the world, more or less, I think. So that's certainly not an issue. No, I think what happened is a simple question of due process. I mean, in the sense that mandates come to an end. There are proposals being made, there are discussions being held, and the Council is then proposing to the Congress new members. We have received many high-level candidates, which is reassuring and which shows, I think, indeed, that the reputation of FIFA is improving, is getting better, because that's also a question of trust of those people who come in FIFA. And of course, if there are pending cases, they will continue. People who are coming in are serious people, are people who have proven amply their qualities. So I think this is a simple question of procedure, a question of Congress. The Congress decided by 9% to appoint these new members, so I don't think we should make a tragedy out of it on one way or another. Democratic processes have to be accepted by everyone, and we go on and we work, and everyone works, and the independent bodies will work, hopefully better than in the past, because we can all do better always, and we are going forward with confidence.
And why not? As a famous British film critic used to say. Well, we wish Mr. Skouras and Ms. Rojas the very best in their efforts to root out the bad apples in the FIFA basket. That's it from Sports Insight for this week. My thanks to Alain Bleu for studio production. From me, Paul Myers, ciao. Let that rock and roll.
But I